When it comes to bringing sanity to the crazy world of enterprise Java development, we always look to our friends at Zero Turnaround. And one of those friends that we turn to, who's always got his finger on the pulse of the nation, is Simon Maple. And so with all of the announcements going on in the world of Oracle and Java, from the brand new cadence of 6-month releases to the pushing of Java to the Eclipse Foundation, we wanted to find out Simon Maple's take on things. So, Simon, what the heck is going on in the world of Java?
Well, let's start with what's happening in Java, because there are so many interesting things happening in Java right now, with Java really pushing over to Eclipse, with Java SE going forward being driven first with OpenJDK, with the cadence of Java SE now being released every 6 months. There's some really, really interesting things that's happening. It's moving very fast, and it's going to promise to be a really good Java 1. If we look at JDK 9, there are some interesting things going on in JDK 9. Obviously, it was delayed by an extra year, so it's been 3 years in the making. But one of the things which JDK 9 delivers is obviously the module system. And for me, it's something which developers aren't really going to get involved with too much. People who really want modularity are going to be using OSGI or something similar. People who, you know, think, yeah, okay, it's going to be an okay idea, aren't necessarily chewing at the bit to get it anyway. So I'm not sure they're going to, you know, be jumping for modularity. It does have big benefits in terms of the future of Java, how we can reduce the footprint of Java, how we can, develop modules that can be incubators like HTTP2 and things like that. So it provides a lot of promise, but it's just not there yet. I think it's going to take a long time for the industry and the ecosystem to really embrace modules and support it, because obviously all frameworks, libraries, tools, vendors of app servers and things like that, it's going to take them time to support that other application developers can use sort of these frameworks and tools alongside their average development. So, I guess the title of the piece that we shared was the fact that we don't believe that the adoption of Java 9 is going to be as big as, you know, any of the previous releases, really. And largely it's because, well, a lot of the effort was put into the module system. There's also a record that, I don't know, I'm not necessarily a big REPL fan, and I don't really see it being a killer feature that anyone's going to jump for. We do have online REPLs already and things like that, but to me, the things like IDEs are actually a reasonable enough way of actually developing fast. I struggle to see the real benefits of upgrading to Java 9 other than the usual, you'll get this X% performance boost or security fixes. And largely, you know, I don't see developers necessarily jumping out of bed to install JDK 9.
Now, this year at Java 1, Project Jigsaw and modularity is a huge topic. But who benefits the most from modularity? Is this something that only the tool vendors are really going to start using, or is it something that the typical everyday enterprise software developer can start using and leverage in the code that they develop?
So I think it actually benefits a number of different people, but not everyone in a massive way. But, you know, across the board, when it helps a number of different divisions like operations or development or the business, then when it helps everyone, it might be a good choice. Let's take them one at a time. If you look at the development team, how it benefits them largely is if you have a large distributed team where you have different developers writing different components of an application, on a large application, it's actually a great way to make sure that other teams are using your components and your APIs as you expect them to use it. So this gives you much greater power to then make changes to your code, knowing you're not going to break any people who use your code. Because with modularity, you can effectively say, these are the APIs I want to expose, and everything else I want to hide. So from a developer point of view, that's actually really beneficial. You can also, as a developer, deliver your updates quicker, because you can, for an application, just upgrade a single module at a time. You don't need to make, let's take Java as an example, right? We've seen in the past huge releases containing many, many things. And the reason they get pushed out a year, 6 months, 2 years, is because largely we've been waiting for different features. So Java 8 was delayed because of Lambdas. Java 9 was delayed because of Jigsaw. In fact, Java 8 largely was also delayed because of Jigsaw, which was later pulled. So everything else, all the other benefits in Java, you can't get hold of. And it's because you're constantly waiting for this one big drop. If you're looking at something more modular, you could actually upgrade, you know, different modules without needing to upgrade the whole application at once. So from an operations and a development point of view, and in fact from the business point of view as well, you're much more reactive in terms of how quick you can fix bugs, how quick you can move in terms of your you know, feature planning and things like that. So from that point of view, it's very, very powerful as a business, and very powerful to actually push your features to market. That's purely from the business point of view. From the operations point of view, it's actually quite nice, because when you have, it can be a pain and it can be good. It can be good because when you're dealing with individual modules, you can almost consider them partly as similar to services, and you're far more isolated in terms of, you know, where your code is, where your applications are modular. However, it can also be slightly more tricky because there are a lot, you know, you have dependencies through that. The actual deployment can be trickier. I think it's not like it's the kind of silver bullet for everyone, but individually, different people will find different value from modules.
Now, why is it that all of these announcements pertaining to the Java platform are coming out right now, and let's just say, you know, within a month or two of Java 1? Is that just coincidental, or is this a matter of Oracle just getting better at doing PR before the big conference?
So I think, let's take each announcement, because I think each announcement, there's no one reason why they're all coming out right now, other than maybe lining them up for Java 1. But I think each announcement has different drivers. You know, obviously, I'm not getting any information directly from Oracle, so I'm merely speculating. But in my opinion, let's look at Java EE. Obviously, Oracle had the year of drought where they weren't talking about Java EE, weren't progressing specs. I think it was clear that Oracle's heart hasn't been in Java EE for a while now. And even though last year they were, personally I believe, pushed into the corner to say, hey, let's progress Java EE 8 and 9, if you actually look what's happened over the last year of Java EE in terms of delivering features to 8, a lot of it's been pushed over to 9. And personally, I think moving Java EE to the Eclipse Foundation benefits both Oracle and Java EE, because I think it relieves Oracle of the burden that Java EE has bestowed upon them. So from their point of view, they don't need to worry about it anymore. From the from the Java EE point of view and the community point of view, I think they're going to have a lot more ownership of Java EE. Obviously, it being now part of the Eclipse Foundation. And it can now go at the speed at which the community wants to drive it. So I think it's a move whereby everyone's happy. Oracle don't look like the bad guys anymore. They're not going to hold it up, and the community can push it as fast as they want to push it. So it's going to be interesting to see over the next year how much effort Oracle will put in terms of supporting the projects in Eclipse, in terms of how many developers are they gonna be providing to support each of the specs and JSRs, not just delivering code, but in pushing the specifications forward. So I think that's really going to show how much Oracle plan to invest in Java EE. But I think that's beneficial. In terms of them pushing the moving the cadence to kind of 6 months now, I think there are two reasons for that. The first reason is because everyone's getting a little bit fed up of Java slipping constantly. We've seen releases, 3, 4, 5 years in delay. Obviously, the 5 year, was it 5 or 6 year? That was really because the Sun and Oracle move. But since Java 9 has now been pushed out and we have a module system, we can develop much faster. And we can provide, as a result, we can provide smaller features quicker. So it does make sense for Java, now it's modularized, to make use of that and to say, right, now we're going to be pushing out different pieces of different modules when they're ready. So every 6 months, what's ready to be pushed out, let's make it available. So I think that's really, really good for Java. From the ecosystem, it's going to be hard work. I think it's probably going to be harder work for the ecosystem than it is for Oracle to maintain, because for Oracle, they just need to continue developing, and when a feature is ready to go into the main branch, they push it into the main branch, and we're good to go. But for the ecosystem, we're now dealing with, if we look at just next year, we've got Java 9 for the ecosystem to support. Then next year, we're going to have 18.3 and 18.9 to support. Java 9 is going to be a well-supported release. Java 18.9 is going to be a long-term support release. Java 8 is now going to be commercially supported till 2025. So there are a large number of releases that tools are going to have to support, and it's no good for tools just to say we're only going to support the long-term support releases, because they're going to lose customers. So they're going to have to support every single release of Java. Frameworks the same. Application servers are more likely going to support the main long-term support versions. Libraries are going to have to support all the versions of Java. So for the ecosystem, it's going to be a lot more work, a lot more testing. It's going to be interesting to see how they keep up, particularly for those libraries and frameworks which don't have large communities and large number of committers to do this work. So that's going to be extremely interesting. And the third thing, go for it, Cameron. Oh, I was going to say the third thing which we mentioned just then was Oracle pushing or putting OpenJDK first. They're obviously going to still have their own commercial kind of support branch, which is fine. Every Java company, JVM vendor company does the same. But to push a lot of the commercial features into OpenJDK as GPL license is actually a pretty astonishing move from Oracle. I applaud them for that. And I think, the fact that we will get commercial features now being pushed into OpenJDK, benchmarking, JMC, all these great tools which were previously commercially available only, the fact that we can get that in the OpenJDK, I think is a bold step from Oracle. I applaud them for doing that.
Now, I think when Oracle first took over Java, they tried to kick out James Gosling from the very first Java 1 conference that they held. And even a couple of years ago, we saw them firing all the Java evangelists just a month or two before the big Oracle Open World conference. Is Oracle getting better at doing PR now that they're doing all of these positive announcements just before the big Java 1 conference, let alone, maybe some of the stuff that they've done with Solaris lately?
So I think, since then we obviously had the Java EE debacle. Since then we've had all the Spark team that's been quietly laid off by the sounds of it, and the Solaris team. So I again would never say a company, and this isn't just about Oracle, but I don't think any big company necessarily is going to be great at PR, bar a couple of very good marketing companies. But Largely, you know, your IBMs or your Oracles, or, you know, or even Red Hats and people like that, they're not necessarily that great at kind of PR. But, you know, they certainly are making some good moves. And largely, when you look at the parts where Oracle fail, like the firing of all their evangelists, like the Spark move right now and the Solaris move, these are more very largely business decisions. Whereas what I think is happening in terms of the good news which is coming out of Oracle is a mix between a business decision and people on the core JVM team, JDK team, actually giving input as to what is most beneficial, not just for Oracle, but for the community as well. I mean, Oracle could have just entirely dropped Java EE. They could have continued to be silent, but I think Oracle have some, you know, deep down, they have some really talented and very good people in the JDK team who care a lot about the community. So I think when we see good coming out of Oracle, it's largely that core team that are prevailing. When we don't see good come out of Oracle, it's largely the business team that are prevailing. So it's hard to paint the whole of Oracle as someone who's getting better at PR.
Now, I noticed Zero Turnaround has a booth on the exhibitors floor. What's going on with Zero Turnaround at Java 1? What are the big things that you guys are working on? Are there any big product announcements? And what are you guys doing to draw people into your booth in the exhibition hall?
We are obviously working very, very hard to support Java 9 in JRebel, which is going to be a big, big task, obviously, because JRebel is so deeply connected to the low-level parts of the JVM. And we're looking to release support for that very soon after the Java 9 release. We are making some big moves in and around the developer productivity, developer performance market. We already have XRebel, as you know, so we're going to be making some announcements over the next week or so. It's going to be extremely interesting because we're going to be very disruptive in the performance management space. So that's going to be extremely interesting to me over the next few weeks as well.
So to get more insights from Mr. Maple, you can always follow him on Twitter at SJMaple. And for that matter, if you want to learn more about some product announcements that are coming out from Zero Turnaround, you might want to follow them on Twitter as well. At Zero Turnaround. And of course, if you're at Java 1, you know, head over to the exhibitors hall. They're going to have a great big booth there, and I'm sure that they're going to love to talk to you about all the new product announcements that are coming out this week.